Welcome back, everybody. This is, of course, Troy Olson with I-70 Baseball at I-70Baseball.com and the Royal Manor Report at RoyalManorReport.com. We are joined once again by Jason Adam of the Kansas City Royals, minor leaguer from the Kansas City area. He's if you listen to the Royal Manor Report, he's been on with us once before, and good enough to come on with us again. So, Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Doing well. The reason that we decided that we needed to talk to you again, outside of the fact that you're obviously from Kansas City and everything like that, so it's always good to see how you're doing in the off season. But this off season, your name has actually come up in some trade talks, and which is kind of an interesting situation with you being a high profile prospect. Like, when you hear things like this, first off, do you find out about them like everybody else? You find out about them through social media or the news the same way we do?
Yeah, I find out the exact same way. I mean, I saw it on Twitter. So I read that and I was like, I only saw it once. I was like, yeah, it's probably some rumor that I saw it like.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, then I got curious. So I was like Googling it, trying to figure out what was going on.
So you do find yourself kind of digging down and seeing if there's any truth to it at all?
Yeah, I definitely try to get to the base at least. I mean, this was really the first time it ever happened, so it kind of caught my curiosity. And, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be, if I have the career I hope to, there's going to be tons of rumors and stuff, and I'll be able to just shut that out. But the first time, I kind of wanted to dig into it a little bit.
That's interesting. And for somebody like us that are just fans, you know, that we always wonder what it's like for an athlete to have that kind of experience where somebody just up and tells you, hey, you're being talked about for such and such person, and you being a higher profile prospect, like you said, this will probably happen a lot to you. Either it'll happen a lot to where people want you, or to where you get batted around as a possible piece of a bigger pie for somebody down the way. Do you feel complimented when your name comes up, or do you feel slighted, or is it just something in the business?
I look at it as something in the business, really. I mean, it's cool kind of have your name out there, but at the same time, it's like, I know the Royals got to do what they got to do to win, and my dream's to play for the Royals, but more than that, my dream's to play in the big league. So it's like, I never think of it as getting slighted, because your team may not want you, but the team that's coming after you does, so.
Right. Kind of on that note, you and I talk on Twitter once in a while. You can find Jason on Twitter at Jason_Adam9. Jason, he'll comment back and everything when people ask him. And I noticed the thing about you being traded, and I asked you about it. And you made a remark on there about you were hoping it wasn't true because you want to stay in Kansas City. Would becoming a Royal be more awesome to you than being a major leaguer for any other MLB team? I know obviously the goal for you
Absolutely.
Is to play in the majors.
It'd make it 10 times better for me, really. Big leagues is obviously amazing, and that's what I want, but to be able to do it for my hometown team that I grew up rooting for and the team that drafted me and wanted me in the first place, it'd be perfect.
And that's what people around here want to hear, because it's not very often that we actually get players that want to stay in Kansas City. So hopefully your career does track the way you want, and you get to be either a starter or a reliever here in Kansas. Do you have a preference on if you make it to the major leagues, do you care if it's a starter or a reliever, or do you really want to stay a starter?
Yeah, I definitely prefer to stay a starter. I think it suits me better, but if I can't make it as a starter and I need to be a reliever, absolutely I would do that without a doubt. But the goal for me is to make it as a starter.
Let's talk a little bit about you as a player. How's your offseason going?
Offseason's going great. I've been mostly out living out in Arizona, working out with Stoney, our strength and conditioning coordinator. Well, I guess he actually just got the big league job. But there's about 10 of us out there working out and trying to stay in shape and get stronger so I can maintain kind of my spring training form throughout the whole year.
You feel like last year went the way you wanted after having the injuries the year before?
Last year it had some ups and downs, more downs than I would have liked. I thought instructs, I felt great. Spring training, I felt great. And then as the season started going, I felt good at first. And then kind of went down and struggled a little bit, which was frustrating, but a learning experience. And then I was happy with the way I finished the season. So it was, I think, a typical first season.
Cool. I mean, that's what you want then, is if you want something that's on a typical line so that you can keep yourself going in the direction you want to crawl up to the top. So you feel like everything's healthy now? You said you were working out on getting stronger and what have you. You feel like you are back to 100% of where you were before your injuries?
Absolutely. I mean, nothing hurts on me at all. I mean, other than soreness after the lift, but that's a good thing. So
right.
I feel great. I'm ready to get through this whole season and hopefully exceed my own expectations. Always my goal, so.
What's your typical off-season workout look like?
I go Monday through Friday. Mondays and Thursdays are upper body lifts and, like, sprint work, some kind of running. And then Tuesdays and Fridays are lower body with, like, a light conditioning circuit. And Wednesdays, yoga and run. And Fridays, sometimes I do yoga, too.
Talked a little bit about you being on Twitter. You're on Twitter at Jason_Adam9. You're very active on there. You're one of the most active Kansas City players. Recently, Kansas City picked up Ryan Verdugo. Did you know Ryan before he got to Kansas City at all?
No, I had never met him. I met him when he came to Arizona after he signed, though.
After he signed. That was my next question, is had you had a chance to meet him yet? Do you follow him on Twitter?
Yes, I just started following him couple days ago. I didn't realize he was on there till someone was that you that mentioned the Young Guns versus him and Duffy in the fight? I can't remember.
I don't think it was me, but I did read about that. I don't know if you saw this or not, and if our listeners have noticed this yet or not. Somebody pointed this out to me, actually. Bill Ivey, who I work with here at Perceptive Software, pointed it out to me, that Duffy has now changed his Twitter handle to match Ryan's. Ryan's is, of course, his Teach Me to Dougie 11 or Teach Me to Dougie 11. And now W does Teach Me How. It's like Teach Me HW to Duffy or something screwy like that. So I noticed they've both got that going on. So definitely a little love affair between the new Royal and the prospect and Danny Duffy. So when you see stuff like that going on with the Twitter and stuff like that, is that kind of drawing you guys closer together as a team at all?
I think it absolutely does. I mean, it's just a fun way to keep in touch with everybody where, like, guys that maybe you want to talk to as much, you can get on Twitter and just be like, hey, man, how's off season going? Or make fun of them real quick or anything, really. Just stay joking around. I think it'll help in season keep the clubhouse light and everything.
You knew Bubba Starling before he got drafted by the Royals, right?
Yes.
Yes. Have you talked to him much since he got drafted?
Yeah, I was actually with him last night hanging out. So he's having a pretty good off season, I think, trying to fix things in his swing with our old summer coach and working out and trying to get bigger and faster, I guess.
Is he seeming like that he's adapting to what it'll take to be a minor leaguer and work his way through coming out of being the big fish in high school? Now he's got to just be another one of the guys going through the system.
Yeah, I think he's definitely adapting. I mean, yeah, obviously he's like, to Gardner, he's already a like superstar in just Kansas City area, but at the same time, he's very humble. And it helps that, I think for him it does help that he knows me, because I've told him, I'm like, you're really good, but so is everybody. So, I mean, just kind of, his skills, I think, will play out, obviously. He's just such a good athlete.
I guess that's something that we don't think about with a lot of the players, is even a guy like you. You were a great baseball player in high school, obviously. You signed for a nice signing bonus and everything that went on with you becoming a minor leaguer. Again, not nearly to the extent that he did, but that Starling did. But when did you figure out, or did somebody grab you and say, hey, look, you were awesome up until now, but this is a whole different ballgame now. Did somebody give that kind of advice to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Our summer coach, he was great for that. He played in pro basketball a little bit. And so he told us, like, he'd always talk to me and Bubba, and he'd be like, you guys are good, but that next level, whether it's college or pro, you're going back to the bottom of the barrel. You haven't proven anything, and everybody else is as good or better than you. So he's very humbling for us.
It'll be interesting to kind of follow you as you do go through the different levels and to kind of get your opinion on what it's like to go from, obviously, what you've already done getting into single A, and then as you go through the different levels of A and into double A and triple A, it'll be interesting for you to be able to look back and maybe talk to us a little bit through the years about how about what it's like to go up the levels. From what you've seen, do you think that you could break camp higher than single A this year, or do you have any idea?
I honestly don't have any idea. I mean, I'd love to, obviously, but I'm just gonna go out there and pitch and try to prove it, try to earn that, whether it happens or not. I don't have a clue, but
yeah, it's pretty hard. I didn't know if they ever give you guys any sort of indication of your growth or whatever on what they plan for you. So I didn't know if there was anything like that out there. You're in KC now, it sounds like.
Yes, I'm back home for the holidays. Just got a little bit more than a week left here, and then I'll head on back to Arizona.
Now, how much time have you gotten to spend in Kansas City? Very much at all?
No, this is, I've been home for like 2.5 weeks now, and this is the longest I've been home since last Christmas.
I was going to say, I know for when I go out of town, I'm never gone very long and I come back to Kansas City. There's always a few things that I really like about Kansas City, be it the barbecue or whatever. When you do get a chance to get home, what is some things that you absolutely have to do in Kansas City?
First thing is my mom's cooking. I love that. But yeah, definitely I need to go to Oklahoma Joe's still this trip. I haven't gone. I love that place. And really, other than that, it's just all about seeing my friends for me. Because I'll go 9 months without seeing any of them, probably. So it's fun to see all them, whether it's just hanging out at their house or going out to eat or whatever.
That's awesome. We're on the phone here with Jason Adam, minor leaguer for the Kansas City Royals, future Kansas City Royal baseball player. We're always glad to have him on. Second time he's been on with us here on the Royal Man Report. And we want to, first off, thank Jason for taking the time. And it was interesting to be able to pick your mind and give the common fan a look into what it's like to somebody that's either been brought up in trade, be it. Well, actually, let's jump back to that real quick. A lot of things that people talk about, major journalists, Kevin Goldstein has talked about this time and time again, about how you got to be careful with Twitter journalism and how everybody tries to break that story and sometimes gets ahead of themselves. And like what you were talking about with yours, there could have been no truth to that. Do you find, as a baseball player or as a baseball fan, do you find that Twitter sometimes is a very dangerous place because of all the untruths that are out there, everything that gets said and may have just a bit of truth to it, but doesn't really have any sort of backing to it?
Yeah, I think it definitely can cause problems with that kind of stuff, which is why I look at Twitter more of a fun thing, not, and if I see something like that does catch my eye, I'm like, whoa, really? Like the trade talks, I Google it and try to find a source. Just because there's millions and millions of people on Twitter. I could get on there and say, like, start my own rumor, and people would be, oh, really? Jason, he don't lie too much. That's probably true. Like, you know, but it can definitely be dangerous. I agree.
That's one thing that I know myself and Mike, Michael Engel of Kings of Kaufman and Jeff Furr, who does some blogging for 610 along with his own stuff, we all make sure that if we ever put anything out there that's a rumor or whatever, we try to get a basis for it or attribute it to wherever it started, because we don't want to ever provide, you know, bad information like you're saying, because we want people to look at us and go, wow, those guys, they don't normally tell too many half-truths, you know. And so I think that's very important. So that's kind of an interesting way that you look at things, with it just being fun. Twitter is a lot of fun for a lot of baseball players. You have like an all baseball team. It doesn't have to be just Royals guys, but are there guys on Twitter that are baseball players that are absolute people that you have to follow?
Yeah, I think so. I think Lomo Marlins, that's his Twitter name. Logan Moore's person. I think he's hilarious. I follow him. Lane, he's one of my best friends on the team. He's always got some funny stuff. But trying to get Bubba on there, he'd be a must follow. That's for sure.
He seems like he's got a good sense of humor. You didn't really get to see it, and I'm wondering how much of that had to do with who his agent is, and if he keeps him locked down a little bit. I haven't really seen. I mean, we've seen Hosmer have a little bit of a Twitter account, but not use it a lot. Do you know, just from your dealings with Bubba, do you know if the Boris clients are limited on what they can do with social media, or do they kind of let them do what they want?
As far as Bubba, I don't think Boris limits him. I think his parents are telling him to be pretty careful and not do that stuff, just because he's famous. I mean, he'd have so many followers that if he slipped up and said something, it'd probably make a story. So I think he's not on Facebook, he's not on Twitter, but I think we'll be able to persuade him to get on there sometime.
Well, we can't wait. And we, of course, would love to have him on the show at some point, so I got to try to work on that come spring training. On the Wilma Marlins thing, I don't think it'd be out of the question to see Ozzy Guillen say something about Lomo on Twitter, because Ozzy uses Twitter just like it's him talking. He doesn't seem to really think about the fact that he is a big league manager at times with what he says. Do you think we could ever see an exchange between Lomo and Ozzy on Twitter this year? Is that something that could happen, or do you think that Lomo learned his lesson?
I don't know. I think with Ozzy and Logan Morrison, I think that's a couple funny personalities. They might go back and forth on Twitter. I could see that happening.
I think that would just be great to see a baseball player and a manager. Be it just been fun, or even if they did have a disagreement, they got spilled over to Twitter. I think the way that Twitter is so different than Facebook or any other social media source, and how people like me can follow any guy like Wilma Marlins and Ozzy, but yet stay in those conversations and see those kind of dialogues, I think is what makes Twitter such an interesting piece. Do you find yourself, when you do social media, do you find yourself more of a Twitter guy or more Facebook, Tumblr? What's your social media drug of choice?
I'd say Twitter and Facebook. Facebook I use more just to pass time, creep on my old friends. But I think I have more fun with Twitter. More fun just going back and forth with guys, making fun of them, and just having joking around all the time.
Of course, we hope for you to have nothing but the best going forward, Jason. And I think other than that, I think I'm going to let you go and get back to your day. And again, thank you so much for taking the about 30 minutes here to talk with us. We really appreciate it, and the listeners really appreciate it. So thanks so much.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you for having me on. I enjoy it as always.
All right. Have a great day, Jason. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye. Thanks.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We have a very exciting show for you today, like we said. And we're going to bring in right away here from the Kane County Cougars pitcher, future starting pitcher for the Kansas City Royals, Jason Adam. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. We do appreciate it. So you grew up a Royals fan, right?
Yes.
Yes, because you're from the Kansas City area, and so how, what did it feel like when you got the call that not only were you drafted, but you were drafted by the Kansas City Royals?
I mean, it was obviously a very special moment for me. Like, I went in hoping, they're one of the teams I talked to the most, so I went in really hoping that they would get me. And then when I found out they were going to draft me, then it was just like, it like gave me the chills and just such a great feeling for really ever since then I've had that same feeling.
Now, after you were drafted, you signed fairly late in the signing period, I think on the last day or maybe next to last day. You did have a commitment to Mizzou, if I'm not mistaken. What was not signing ever an option, or was that, you know, what was that decision process when you were deciding between signing with the Royals or going to college?
It was a pretty tough decision. I tried to kind of make it before the draft. I just told myself if I was a certain round or certain money, I was going to go ahead and sign, especially if it was like the Royals or one of the top teams that I liked.
And if I didn't, I'd just go to college. So that it was fairly stress-free going through the whole negotiation process. It was like, I was pretty confident I was going to sign all along.
And you did cash in pretty well. It was like an $800,000 signing bonus. So,
yeah.
Well done, sir, on that. Not yeah. bad for a 19-year-old, or were you 18 at the time? You just turned 20, right?
I just turned 20, so I was 19.
Yeah.
For 10 days by the time I signed.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, not bad. Now, being a local product, and you know, you went to Blue Valley, and did you ever play against Bubba Starling from Gardner?
I never played against him, but I played with him in summer ball for 3 years, so mm-hmm. he's one of my good buddies.
What?
Yeah, he is extremely talented.
What do you think he's going to do? Because he's got a similar situation where he's got to weigh Nebraska and the Royals. So it's coming down to the deadline for him as well.
Yeah, I mean, I talk to him, he says he's very stressed. I try not to ask him too much about what he's thinking, just kind of let him do that on his own. But obviously, I hope he signs. He's a good friend, so he'd be a great person to have in the organization for me and just for the whole organization. But it's really, selfishly, I want him to sign, and I hope he does. But, I mean, there's no wrong decision for him. I just know what I want him to do.
So, kind of going off of that, people think you said it was a difficult decision for you to sign to come. You know, it wasn't as easy as people would think to just take $800,000. I mean, $800,000 is a heck of a lot more money than
I take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. The three of us sitting in this room don't make 800 grand combined, of course. And so for him, the number somewhere between 8 million and 10.2 is what's being reported. You know, people would think that would just be easy to just accept that and go on. But you said it was kind of a hard decision for you. Can you kind of talk about that and like maybe try to be in Bubba's mind and try to tell us what he's kind of thinking?
I mean, I think for him a big decision is whether he wants to play football or baseball. I mean, I didn't have to go through that, but that's huge because if he decides he'd rather play football, Nebraska's a great school. But it's just like that's a lot of money, obviously, and it's great to have, but there's a whole college experience that some people find more important than others. For me, I was willing to give it up, and hopefully for him, he is too. But it's really kind of a family decision that like us kids have like the final choice on. There's just a lot of feedback from your family, and you kind of want to make them happy, but you got to do what you think's best for you at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, I that's kind of what I figured, and I get that. And like I've told people, I think I know when I was 18, I'm 30 now. And when I was 18, if I would have had the kind of talent that you or somebody like Bubba Starling has, it may have been more tempting to go be the big guy on campus and do what you guys do, you know, on campus, and then have the opportunity to come back in 4 years and still sign that big contract. Of course, the other side of that is especially with him playing football, if you get hurt, then it puts you out of money altogether. And that actually transitions to my next question for you. You've had some injuries that have slowed your track to the big league. How is your health right now?
I feel great. I mean, it's been a long season. It's been fun. But, I mean, and I've had my ups and downs just with there was a period where my legs were just – I felt like they weren't under me. And I just have to get used to that and get back on the running and the lifting and keep my – like the routine that the strength coach gives us. And I mean, it's tough. It's harder than I expected, but I feel great right now. Hoping for a strong finish.
Now, what's the organization told you need to work on to help your track? Cause obviously the injury slowed you down. You've had, like you said, some ups and downs this season. What are they telling you need to work on to get to AA?
I mean, really they just want me to work on command obviously and getting more consistent. I've been talking with Jim Brower a lot. He's helped me so much with just minor mechanical things and then also just the whole mental side of pitching. There's stuff that I never even thought of in high school until now about just pitching in certain counts to certain batters and kind of reading their swings. So I really got to work on being able to just get consistent with my mechanics, and then I can start doing that the whole mental side, which – should take you to a whole nother level, just because if you can outthink the hitters while you're out pitching them, it makes it hard to hit.
What's your preparation during the week as you lead up to a start? And, you know, what do you start on day one? What do you start on, you know, day two? What's the organization got you working on during the week?
It's pretty much like the day after I start, so tomorrow I'll do like a lower body lift and then a 20-minute jog sprint walk and just kind of play fairly light catch, just something to get the arm moving, try to get some of that lactic acid out, which the run does as well. And then day after that is same thing. I'll have upper body lift and then some sort of run, and I'll have my side, just like a 30-pitch side, kind of just get a feel for your mechanics between starts. They don't want me going too hard because it's late in the season. They don't want me overusing. And then day of running and playing catch, and then another day of, and then the next day is no workout and just play catch and kind of stretch and get the body ready for the start the next day.
Did they have you on any kind of an innings count that they've told you of, or is it just kind of because you did start a little bit in the rookie league and, you know, you haven't been at Kane County all year? Is it just they're kind of sending you out there and letting you go off of, you know, whatever you put up in the game?
It's a pretty strict pitch count.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely not, I think it's like 90, but like the last, my pre-start 5 days ago, I threw like 64 or something, and they pulled me just to keep me fresh because it was a hot game. They didn't want me getting too tired, and then today I only threw 71 or something. So they're kind of cutting it down towards the end of the season, I think, keeping us healthy, hoping for playoffs so they'll still be fresh to get through the playoffs and hopefully win it.
So you, obviously, you being a Kansas City boy, have to be pretty excited about the All-Star game coming here next year.
Absolutely.
Saying that by some chance you just were lights out the first half next season and you got a chance to play in the Futures game, what would that mean to you?
Oh, that would be absolutely unbelievable. I mean, the thoughts crossed my mind. I hadn't seriously thought about it because I'm trying to just stay focused on how I'm doing. But just to be able to play in like such a huge event in front of all my friends and family at home in Kauffman Stadium, where I grew up watching games, it would be an unbelievable experience. I mean, I'm going to focus on what I can do, and if by some chance that does happen, it would be an absolute dream come true.
Now, we've covered that, you know, you just turned 20, and you're still kind of on a fast track being at low A right now. What kind of advice are you getting from pitchers who have been in the system for a year or two now that have kind of, you know, cut their teeth in the rookie leagues and have maybe had half a season last year at your level now? What kind of things are they passing on to you to kind of help the team and help the organization and everybody else?
I mean, the big thing for me is when I was going through that rough stretch, they're just like, I mean, Jake Cooler, he's not a pitcher, but he's been around a few years. He's great. He's just like, just relax. I mean, it happens. You're at the point I was 19. He's like, you're young. You're pitching against older guys. And just, so I was really stressed, and I was getting really frustrated with my performances. And he's just like, just relax. Get that confidence back, and you'll be fine. Just finish strong. And it's helped me a lot, just having him around.
You know, we've talked quite a bit about your age, and that was something that Mike and I really talk about before the show. Is it's kind of crazy that that somebody my age at 30 thinks about somebody like you just coming into baseball at 20. Do you ever feel like you guys have to be older than what you are because of what you do is such serious business?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, I mean, I still like doing my childish things, but when I'm on the baseball field, I feel like I try to be as mature as I possibly can. And just because, I mean, you have to. If you're immature, unless you're just a freak athlete, you're not going to make it. You have to be mature and be able to do your work and do the extra work. I mean, put everything in, it'll get you there.
Well, Jason, we are out of time on this interview. We want to thank you so much for coming on. We got something very important to tell you, though. We've had on guys from Omaha, and the next week they threw a no-hitter that was and then wasn't, and we had Eric Idleseen of Northwest Arkansas on, and his team threw a combined no-hitter. So when you throw your no-hitter next week, give credit to the Royal Man Report, all right?
All right, you got it.
All right, stay on the line just for a second.
Thanks for having me on.